Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This episode is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I know how I feel today, joined by John Breach and Tyler Sullivan on this podcast. I feel like a freaking champion because I am a champion. NC State won the ACC tournament on Saturday night. First time in 37 years that NC State has won a football, basketball, or baseball championship. Very excited. You can hear it in my voice. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, Brinson? I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
Okay. This is really also more happy, exciting.
Brinson, yeah, because are you? Did you go to sleep in that shirt? Is that your green St. Patrick's Day shirt? And you just slept in it last night and just celebrated the whole weekend?
I've been wearing a green shirt for the last 3 days, for sure. It feels kind of lucky. I'll be honest, Sully, I'm more happy. Like, I had a better Saturday this past Saturday than you did the Saturday before. Or like two Saturdays ago, whenever you got married. I kid. We had lots of news happen either late Friday or maybe it was Thursday after we finished the show. Let's get to it. Namely, some borderline stuff in terms of emergency podcasts, but we didn't end up doing them. Again, see St. Patrick's Day and NC State's miraculous tournament run. Aaron Donald hung up his cleats and walked away from football. A big blow to my Rams, the hope that the Rams would maybe make another Super Bowl run this year. But Donald had been thinking about doing this for the last couple of years. Sean McVay talked him back into it. People joke all the time. It's talk about like the Hall of Fame chances for certain players. But I mean, like, Aaron Donald is – I think he's the greatest defensive player of all time. He's one of the two or three greatest defensive players of all time. I think you put him up there with like Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White, and a mortal lock for the Hall of Fame. Really the only 2022 maybe breach, the only sort of pock on his resume.
Yeah, it really blows my mind that we're talking about someone who only played for 10 seasons being an absolute lock. But Brinson, look, I know that sometimes you exaggerate about locks for the Hall of Fame, and sometimes Wilson gives you funny faces. But if he was here right now, no one would, because this seems like a slam dunk. I mean, we are talking about someone who was first team All-Pro in 8 of his 10 seasons. We are talking about someone who was a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, tied for the most in NFL history with J.J. Watt and Lawrence Taylor. We are just talking about someone who was absolutely dominant on the interior of the defensive line, which is just not something we don't see that kind of dominance from that spot. We haven't seen it over the past decade, past two decades, besides Aaron Donald. And personally, I mean, I literally have nightmares every night about the final Bengals final offensive play in Super Bowl 56 when fourth and one, you get 1 yard, you got to get a first down, get in field goal range, get Evan McPherson, tie the game. But no, Aaron Donald blew that up. Ja'Marr Chase was running wide open down the sideline. If Joe Burrow gets an extra 0.5 seconds to throw the ball, the Bengals probably win that game, but they didn't because Hall of Famer Aaron Donald made a Hall of Fame play, blew through the line, put pressure on Burrow, and that was it. I mean, how many defensive players get to make a game-winning play in the Super Bowl? So, yeah, Aaron Donald, definite Hall of Famer.
I think it's a good point that you bring up, Breach, that he's doing all of this. You look at all his numbers. You look at his All-Pros, Defensive Player of the Year stuff. As an interior defensive lineman, I mean, you'll talk about who's the greatest defensive player of all time. You'll hear Lawrence Taylor, J.J. Watt might even get thrown in there. But those guys, a lot of it came from the edge. This dude was doing it all from the interior, which is just such a much more difficult area on that defensive line to put up stats. And the fact that he was able to and make those types of impact plays, you know, you're talking about the Super Bowl against the Bengals, the one against the Patriots, Super Bowl 53 or whatever it was. You know, Devin McCourty had a tweet right after he announced his retirement that Bill Belichick, you'd still remember him saying that this dude will wreck the game. This guy will blow everything up humanly possible. And when you have one of the greatest head coaches, maybe the greatest head coach of all time, saying that about a singular player heading into a Super Bowl, that just shows how great he was.
40th all-time, tied 40th of all-time in sacks from the interior defensive line and playing for, you know, a career that wasn't like Julius Peppers, fifth all-time in sacks with 159. I mean, he played forever. Donald, I mean, if you recall, coming out, actually fell in the draft because of his size. People thought he was too small. They were worried he wouldn't hold up against NFL pass rush playing at Pittsburgh. I remember, I mean, seeing him live just because, the matchups. And, like, I mean, I thought he was probably the best player in the draft. I wish I'd, like, written that down as a hot take because it obviously ended up being correct really, really quickly. And he dominated. He's an incredible player from Jump Street, Defensive Rookie of the Year in his first year. As Breach pointed out, 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards in a 4-year span. He also finished second in his second year and fourth in his third year. He somehow wasn't All-Pro, first-team All-Pro his first season, which is just sort of a mistake. Like, he was a Pro Bowler and he was Defensive Rookie of the Year, and it was just kind of a screw-up. And then in 2022, they really just shut him down. He still made the Pro Bowl, but they shut him down early after 11 games because he was a little dinged up. They wanted to make sure he could come back last year and make a run, and he was his typical dominant self in 2023. I think, it's actually interesting. Like, J.J. Watt, our colleague J.J. Watt, probably wins a couple more Defensive Player of the Year awards, or Aaron Donald maybe wins a couple more without J.J. Watt. The fact that those two guys were at the same time is pretty remarkable and just an incredible career for Aaron Donald. The Vikings made a big swing in the draft after losing Kirk Cousins. They traded the 42nd and 188th picks in the 2024 draft, plus a 2025 second round pick to the Houston Texans for the Texans number one overall pick, or excuse me, first round pick, number 23 overall, and then pick number 232. Reminiscent, I think, Sully, of the Eagles making this kind of play in the draft when they made their move to go get Carson Wentz, sort of setting up a pre-draft trade.
Right, and certainly something that was on my radar up here in New England with the Patriots having the number 3 overall pick. Is that a team that they're targeting, the Minnesota Vikings, to possibly say, hey, listen, if you don't love quarterback X that falls to you, maybe we want to be the ones that jump up? Or do they jump up?
You're the conspiracy theory with KJ Osborne?
Go ahead, let's hear it.
It's that the Patriots signed KJ Osborne to kick in a compensatory pick for the Vikings that the Vikings can then use later to, once the comp picks are announced, to trade to the Patriots in the future. It's a great conspiracy theory.
All right. It's fine with me. I mean, I would much rather, if I'm in New England, if I'm one of these teams that are inside the top 3, whether it's Washington or New England, I would much rather take the quarterback up top and take the gamble, just because you never know how high you're going to get ever again. But if you're telling me you're going to get 11, 23, and then maybe next year's one, I don't know, like some one of these crazy, crazy returns that we've seen in the NFL draft before, you have to at least think about it. Now, is it the Patriots at number 3? Maybe. I actually think it's probably somewhere in the top five. What is it? Is the New York Giants that have number five? Or, I'm sorry. No, it's the
Giants are at six. Yeah.
Chargers. Yes, I'm sorry. It's the Los Angeles Chargers at number five. That to me kind of feels like the team that could possibly move out of that pick, collect more assets to build around Justin Herbert, and maybe that's the team they jump up. It's like JJ McCarthy out of Michigan. That to me feels a little bit more plausible. I actually bet that earlier, just in full disclosure.
What was the bet? JJ McCarthy
number five overall pick. It was, I think, like 5 or 6 to 1.
Maybe you trade Justin Herbert and you draft JJ McCarthy. That's how you really, you
know. Sure.
So if Sully's not on this podcast on April 28th, it is because he hit it big betting on JJ McCarthy to the Vikings. Yeah, I think the most interesting thing here is that the 23rd overall pick originally belonged to the Browns, and then they gave to the Texans as part of the Deshaun Watson trade.
That's right.
And now here we are. It is once again changing hands again, and it could lead to a team acquiring a quarterback. And so, yeah, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. This does feel like ammo for the Vikings to move up probably into the top five. And I think there's a couple teams that have an interesting choice here. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, do they want to stay at four and take a receiver? Probably. But if you tell them, hey, look, you get to pick 11, 23 and a first or second round pick next year, I think you have to seriously think about that. I mean, you can't just totally discount that. So not just the Patriots at three, but the Cardinals at four. And considering the losses the Chargers have had this year with Mike Williams, trading Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler leaving free agency, they have to think about accruing more picks. So I think definitely the Cardinals and Chargers both seem like good possible trade partners.
Well, I'll say this, Breach, real quick. I do think it brings an interesting dynamic with four and five because the New York Giants are at six. You have this team in the Vikings that now have these two first round picks that can vault up. If you're New York and you possibly want another quarterback, if you want to jump into that range to replace Daniel Jones, maybe you have to jump to four to beat someone who's at five. I just think that there's a lot of things that could happen here over the next month or so with those teams in particular.
Yeah, the Vikings making this move and setting everything up really creates a lot of draft spice because we don't know what the interest level is for the Patriots and the Cardinals moving down and how aggressive Minnesota is going to be. Clearly, when you set the stage publicly like this by making that initial move, you are letting the league know that you are all out there lurking, potentially trying to make a move up, and it is usually for a quarterback when you do that initial kind of move. So it wouldn't be surprised at all if we get some more drama in the 2024 NFL draft as we get closer to it. Obviously, make sure and listen and watch with the First Pick podcast with Ryan Wilson and Rick Spielman on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Justin Fields got traded too. Where did he go? What does it mean? We'll tell you after the break. Next.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Justin Fields dealt on Saturday night to the Pittsburgh Steelers for, what about Sir Ham Sandwich? The traded for a sixth round pick could turn into a fourth, but Breach, man, like, I mean, this is a guy to be like, I mean, you know, you got the Bears at 7-10. The Bears are only trading him. It's crazy to me because the Bears are only trading him because the Panthers were stupid enough to give them the first overall pick and they can get Caleb Williams. If they have just the ninth overall pick, I think they're probably standing pat with Caleb Williams and drafting a receiver at some point and adding more bodies that way, or maybe an offensive lineman help and like building around Justin Fields. And no one in the league wanted this guy. It's wild.
Yeah, it was really weird once we saw the dominoes start to fall at quarterback, and it kept after the first week of free agency. It was who's going to trade for Justin Fields, because it doesn't feel like there are any starting spots out there. We talked about how the one spot that is maybe still open is the Broncos, but Sean Payton does not seem like someone who would want to take advantage of Justin Fields' skill set, because he's more of a fan of guys who are very strong out of the pocket, as we've seen with Drew Brees.
And not named Russell Wilson.
And not named Russell Wilson. Man, if I can grade the Bears for this, it just feels like an F here, because they got nothing. Mac Jones got traded for a sixth-round pick. You can't be trading Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick, and I just don't know why the Bears didn't hang on to him longer. It's one of those things, and again, I'll go back to 2011, Bengals, Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was going to retire. The Bengals said, no, unless something blows us away, we're not trading him. What happened is the Raiders quarterback got injured, so now a team needs a quarterback, and now you hold all the leverage. If that happened in training camp or even September, now the Bears have a ton of leverage, and now maybe you get a second or third round pick for Justin Fields. Instead, you give him away for nothing. I just don't get this from the Bears' perspective.
Breach, not even training camp, but real quick, Brinson, not even the training camp or anything like that. The draft. Wait till day two of the draft. There's going to be a team that's on the outside looking into this quarterback frenzy. We were just talking about the Vikings. What if that deal's just not there and they don't get a guy? All right, well, it's tough to make that trade in the division. I get it. But a team like that, the Denver Broncos, if they don't get their guy, just name a team that was trying to get a quarterback and they don't. Justin Fields' price on day two infinitely goes higher. They sold at the lowest possible time, in my opinion, for a guy that of that skill set. Again, hasn't reached that potential, but has that skill set to be the guy.
Well, and that's sort of what I was going to ask you, Sally. It's like, look, think back to even the draft with Kenny Pickett, who now is obviously gone in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers have Ross and Justin Fields, so I think it's a really interesting combo. But like, you think back to that draft and the run of quarterbacks happening in like the second and third round with Malik Willis and those guys, and surprise, it was the Carolina Panthers who panicked because the owner wanted a quarterback, and they trade a bunch of stuff up to go get Matt Corral, who didn't ever take a snap for them. They used a third round pick on him. You're telling me that a team like the Panthers, or obviously not the Panthers in this case, but some team wouldn't have said, oh my God, like, all right, screw it, a third round pick for Justin Fields. And the Bears are, Ryan Poles came out and like said, well, we wanted to do right by Justin. And I think I did see Peter Schrager point this out. Peter Schrager of NFL Media, friend of the pod, point this out. But that, like, the idea of, like, it's the Bears would not just, like, if they had one team would give a third, but they wanted to do right by Justin, so they just took a sixth. Internally, they would have, like, a disaster in their hands. They would have mutiny because of like, how people in the front office would respond if the GM did that for the freaking backup quarterback. But I agree with you 100%. Hold on to the guy and let his value build. Who knows? Maybe the guy you draft gets hurt and you think you've got a team that can win, and you have a great backup in Justin Fields. It's insanity.
The one question that I do have quickly, and Breach, I'll just toss it to you and then you can make your point. Does Russell Wilson sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers if he knows this trade goes down, or is he playing it somewhere else?
I don't know that Russ had a, that's a great question. I don't think that Russ had a ton of landing spots, but I think the answer is probably no, because Russell Wilson is not a big fan of like competition in this sense. Like, he's always like about compete. And don't get me wrong, he thinks he can win the job, but he wouldn't sign with the Steelers if he thought that they were going to bring in Justin Fields, who will be, fans will be chanting for him and begging for him at the drop of a hat if Russ struggles.
Well, I think if Mike Tomlin told him that he was going to be the starter, that he probably would have signed and expect Tomlin not to backtrack on his word. I think it does get more awkward if they get to training camp and Justin Fields is the more talented quarterback and the players can see that on the field. That definitely makes it a little more awkward. But I mean, Russell Wilson clearly seems like he likes Pittsburgh so far and what he has around him. So I do think he would have signed, but who knows? You know, who knows? And the one thing I will say is the Bears are going to look really silly if the Steelers flip Justin Fields. Maybe Fields doesn't even make it to training camp. You said you're drafting Sully. Maybe somebody calls the Steelers up during the draft on day three and says, all right, we didn't get the quarterback we wanted. We'll give you a third round pick for Fields. Or again, the training camp thing, a QB goes down. Somebody calls the Steelers up. Hey, we'll give you a second round pick because we are so desperate. We don't have a starting quarterback. And now the Steelers look brilliant and the Bears look like total fools for, as you said, Sully, selling at the lowest point possible.
And the Steelers absolutely have not, I would assume, not told anybody that We're silly. You're silly, Musa. You're a silly little Bears fan. The Steelers have absolutely not told anybody that, like Justin Fields, like, we'll do right by you. Don't worry about it. Some other items that we got to hit. You mentioned the Keenan Allen trade. I thought that was, like, the most shocking thing of all because they cut Mike Williams, and you're thinking, okay, Keenan makes more sense for this sort of this sort of offense that Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman want to run. And then they trade Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick. I think it's just mostly – I guess let me ask you this. Like, what out of the Chargers moves surprised you the most? And do you think, Breach, that there's any sense, or sorry if you want to go ahead, any sense of like, okay, maybe Jim Harbaugh doesn't think this roster is ready to win right now?
I think he's here for not to compete in 2024. I think he's here to build something for 25 and possibly 26. And that's why I think they're a great team for the Minnesota Vikings, as we were mentioning earlier, to trade up, go back, collect assets, bring in a different type of core. And I say that, but also you still have Justin Herbert. Let's not waste another year of this guy's career because he is so talented and he's had such bad coaching over the course of his career. I'd love for them to build something and more immediate, but I do understand the long-term kind of view of it, I would say, if that's the route that I think they're going to go down. But I will say this, getting rid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and now it leaves you with Quentin Johnston, I mean, that is just almost malpractice. You need to draft a wide receiver. You need to go and trade for somebody, whether that's T. Higgins in Cincinnati, Breach, or something along those lines. You need to bring somebody in because it's just a horrible wide receiver crew right now.
Hey, if the Chargers want to give up the fifth overall pick for T. Higgins, as a Bengals fan, I will sign off on that. That's about the only deal. And Brinson, to answer your question about what was more surprising, I definitely thought it was the Keenan Allen trade because it really felt like they were going to make a move just because of all the salary cap hits. Mike Williams has been battling injuries, and I think the feeling there was he's just not worth that cap hit at this point. But Keenan Allen, not only did he lead the team in receiving yards last season, he had twice as many receiving yards as anyone else on the team. I mean, that is an absurd number when you doubled up anyone else on your roster. Clearly, Justin Herbert's favorite target. So you take him out of there, and you take off his security blanket in Austin Ekeler, and it definitely makes things a lot dicier. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Solly here that it does feel like the Chargers are kicking the can down the road and that 2024, I don't want to say it's a throwaway season because it's never a throwaway season in the NFL, and you have Justin Herbert. So you will compete, but man, they don't have a lot left on offense, even though they did add Gus the Bus Edwards and Will Disley.
I just do want to add one thing. I almost half wonder if the Chargers were kind of caught by surprise because Keenan Allen said in his introductory press conference with the Bears that he was approached to restructure like we saw a lot of their defensive players do, and he flat out refused. He said, I'm not doing it. I almost wonder if they thought he was kind of like, in the bag that he would, he's been a Charger his whole life. He'll be able to restructure. He wants to be here.
Well, I think they asked him to take a pay cut.
Not a restructure.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
It implies like helps the cap, whereas pay cut is, you're
either way. I kind of, that's a little bit more harsh if you take a pay cut, of course. But I do wonder if they kind of were a little bit more confident in being able to coax him to come back than they were to keep him.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. The Kansas City Chiefs are a big deal because they are the reigning two-time reigning world champions, and they signed Marquise Hollywood Brown. I think it's pretty obvious analysis here. He's a perfect complement to what they want to do. You can use him in the screen game. We talked about this, playing matchmaker last week. I think we all agreed that like Hollywood Brown's best spot, Sully, was the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world. You can kind of do some Tyreek Hill stuff. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean. The speedster, smaller type of receiver, you can kind of do those pop passes that they love to do with Tyreek Hill when he was with the Chiefs in the red zone, kind of at the goal line there as well. It's just something that they needed. Their wide receivers were so poor last season. And yes, they did catch on. Rashee Rice ended up playing well down the stretch, but they left a lot to be desired, and Travis Kelce's only getting older, and the fact that you could bring somebody in on a relatively cheap, prove it deal, 1 year thing, you pair him with Patrick Mahomes, he's infinitely going to be better. I think that this is kind of a no-brainer slam dunk move. The only thing I will say though is that this absolutely means that the Cardinals have to take Marvin Harrison Jr., right? Because you get rid of Marquise Brown, you trade Rondale Moore, you have really nobody there. It's clear cut that Marvin Harrison's going to be the fourth overall pick. I looked at the odds at FanDuel. It was like minus 270, which I still felt like was, relatively not good value, obviously, but you know what I mean?
No.
Not as crazy as I thought it was going to be.
I will say that, and this Pete Prisco believes this, and he said it. I don't know if he said it on the pod or he said it. Well, but I've texted with him about it. And then we saw Daniel Jeremiah tweet this out, and I've seen this from other people. They think that a lot of teams might have Malik Nabers above Marvin Harrison Jr., which I think is really interesting. So, like, I'm not sure what Nabers is at four. You know, Nabers is probably the second favorite at fourth overall, but because you got to factor in the possibility of a trade for a quarterback, but also, like, do the Cardinals like Nabers better? I mean, they could go Nabers at four over Marvin Harrison Jr. I would be pretty surprised personally as well. I think Harrison Jr. is like that big alpha one that you know is like you know Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be good. Now, maybe Malik Nabers has a higher ceiling when it's all said and done, if he really fine tunes his route running and all that. But I mean, I think you're probably right. I think there's a very good chance we see a wide receiver at four, unless they want to trade out, because you know this is a deep wide receiver class. If you think, all right, we can move down to 11 and get 23 and a future first. Remember, we've seen Monte Ossenport trade down a ton. Wouldn't be that shocking if they decided to go with, like, trade down to 11, you take Roma Dunze, and then you have a pick at 23, and then you have another future first. I mean, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world. All right, a couple more items real quickly from the news. Or not. Eric Armstead signed with the Jags, Devin Bush signed with the Browns, and Jimmy Garoppolo signed with the Rams.
And real quick on Marquise Brown, I want to say this real quick. Look, you look at what the Chiefs do on offense. With zero receivers last year, with zero, you know, obviously you have Travis Kelce, but that team still averaged 246.4 passing yards per game. You still rank in the top six in the NFL. The year before, they averaged 297 passing yards per game, which was number one in the NFL. Marquise Brown has never played in an offense that has averaged more than 235 passing yards per game. So this is like going to be a whole new thing for him. He's only had one season in his career where he went over 800 yards. He's never really played in a true passing offense. So I think this could be a really good fit in the sense that he's going to be like, oh my God, like, teams throw the ball this much? What is going on? Yeah. It's going to blow his mind playing in this offense. And I think he's going to enjoy it. And because of that, I think him and Mahomes will end up having pretty good chemistry.
Yeah, I think it'll be, I think, like, you'll see his ADP is going to skyrocket for obvious reasons in fantasy. And if you look at the skill set in particular, the way Andy Reid is the master of the screen game, and Hollywood Brown coming out of Oklahoma was a big time screen guy. You get the ball in his hands at the line of scrimmage and let him take off. But he also, and like, they wanted a guy that could take the top off. He can do that. He can be that guy who runs with nine routes and gets vertical for him. Okay, let's get to free agency grades. We'll start with the NFC North. A lot of change, some big moves for these various teams. We can bring up the list. Harry's got them. Harry did a fantastic job with the graphics here. You can see additions for the Lions: DJ Reader, Emeka Robertson, Marcus Davenport. They re-signed Graham Glasgow and Emmanuel Mosley. Packers bring in Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs. Lose Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, and David Bakhtiari. Those are big old-time Packers guys. Also have Keeson Nixon and Tyler Davis. And then, of course, Aaron Jones of the Vikings. They lose Kirk Cousins, as we all know about, and Danielle Hunter. Keenan Allen acquired by the Bears, along with Kevin Byer. They trade Justin Fields and re-signed Jalen Johnson. What kind of grades would you hand out? We'll start with the Lions. What kind of grade would you give the Lions, Breach?
I'm going to give them an A-. I thought they did pretty good. You look at corner being a biggest need, going out and trading for Carlton Davis, I thought was impressive. They're re-signing offensive linemen, which I think is smart. Graham Glasgow, Dan Skipper. And they didn't hit any home runs, but I thought they were consistent enough that they plugged the holes they need to plug. I mentioned Carlton Davis on defense, but they also added, you got a run stuffer in DJ Reader. You got some pass rush help in Marcus Davenport. So, again, nothing blew me away, but it just felt like a consistently good week for the Lions. So, A-.
Yeah, I'm in that same range. I gave him a B-plus here just because, Breach, they don't need to hit the home runs because, you know, this is a team that's already kind of ready-made. They have their core. I do trust them in the NFL draft almost exclusively just because of what they were able to do these last few years. So there's going to be more talent coming. But from a free agent standpoint, we mentioned it last week. You know, I do love Carlton Davis. That's a clear need. Fix the secondary. But DJ Reader coming in, too, to almost further strengthen their run defense, which was one of the best last year. You look at what these other teams in this division have done, adding Aaron Jones in Minnesota, DeAndre Swift going to Chicago, obviously Green Bay getting Josh Jacobs. They're telling you that they're going to run the ball. And so to further solidify that as one of your key strengths, I think is going to be very important in this division.
Well, yeah, and now too, like you know, Kirk Cousins gone, as we noted. I mean, you're going to have a rookie. You know, Jordan Love, who is in his second year as a starter, and everybody's very high on. But I mean, at the same time, like, you know, a guy who middle last year, the GM was being asked if they were going to, like, you know, if he was the guy to build around. And then, you know, in Minnesota, we just don't know what we're going to have. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a run heavy division. To your point, Sully, I'm right there with you. I think B plus is sort of a stand up double type of free agency, right? Where, you know, to use a baseball analogy, when we're talking about the football offseason, where they didn't need to swing for the fences. They needed to make sure they got better in certain areas and keep improving that defense. Because, I mean, you know, you bring back Ben Johnson. That's the other part of this, too. You don't lose either of your coordinators. And I realize that's not free agency, but you could kind of put that in as in the totality of the offseason, where, you know, you go and have a good draft and you keep identifying good talent. They had so much good talent in the rookie class last year. This is a team that really can keep building on what was a special season, nearly a very special season last year. All right. Also, the Packers, Green Bay Packers check in. As we mentioned, McKinney, I'm going to give the Packers an A-. I like that they were really aggressive, A for aggressive. They go out there, Sully, and they make, you know, you see Brian Gutekunst didn't stand on his laurels, wants to build on what they have. They know that they find out that Cousins is gone out of the division too, and you really have to think, yes, maybe the Bears could you know, turn things around a little bit more, but this feels a little bit like a two-horse race. And if you're Green Bay, you want to be aggressive. You know that you're losing some of your older stars in Jones. Dylan was a whiff in the draft. And then Bakhtiari, who's been protecting the blind side forever. Yeah, but they went out and got really aggressive. And I think the Josh Jacobs fit is a fun one here.
Yeah, I think Josh Jacobs is really going to be fun. I like Xavier McKinney as well. I mean, this is a team that was taking the San Francisco 49ers to the brink in the postseason. I mean, they peaked very early in the Jordan Love era, as early as we all could have, you know, could have possibly even conceived. We thought that this was going to be kind of a multi-year rebuild. Let's see if he's the guy. And they just caught fire down the stretch. So I like them adding some talent around him, you know, defensively and certainly offensively. I think Jacobs is going to be a fascinating piece. I mean, Breach, we talked about it early last week, that the fact that they were so aggressive in trying to in going after Josh Jacobs means that LaFleur has a plan for him in his offense, which I just think is going to be fascinating to watch unfold.
Yeah, absolutely. I give the Packers a B+. I think the interesting, though, or maybe I don't even know if interesting is the right word, but the amount of money they gave Josh Jacobs, I think he's going to walk away with that about $14 million, a little over $14 million in year one. And, you know, it's a 12-year or 4-year, $48 million deal, but it seems unlikely that he plays out all 4 years. And so it's just a hefty paycheck when you look at the rest of the running back market. And yeah, so obviously you're giving him that kind of money. You are planning on getting him involved in that offense. So I do like that. The Xavier McKinney signing was huge. But again, that's, yeah, two big signings and the rest of it was just kind of, let's figure out what we're doing. So yeah, I think B plus is good.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you. I didn't say a grade, but B plus.
Yeah. Minnesota Vikings. I mean, look, I don't know how you give them a great grade. You bring in Sam Darnold. That's nice, but you do like Kirk Cousins walked. Andrew Van Ginkle is kind of a sneaky pickup. I like the revenge stuff with Aaron Jones, Jonathan Grenard, as we mentioned last week, it feels like kind of a, like you lose to Neil Hunter and then you get Grenard. I don't know. It's like the Texans are the winners in that swap, right? So I will say C- for the Vikings.
Yep. I'll give you a C- as well, because this team got severely worse over the course of free agency. I mean, it's so easy to say because just the starch difference in quarterback with going from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold, but like it doesn't really feel like you should be super confident in what they were able to do in free agency. Now we're taking the snapshot after free agency. If they go up into the top five in the NFL draft and find their quarterback, then okay, fine. It's a different conversation. But as of right now, Sam Darnold's their starting quarterback in week one, and that makes them infinitely worse. It has ripple effects that could affect Justin Jefferson and his willingness to stay in Minnesota. And I'm with you, Brinson. I do like the Aaron Jones signing for just kind of the drama. But the Grenard one, you know, it's a guy that had his career year in Houston last year, a defensive-minded head coach that we talked about, Breach. D'Amico Ryans was willing to let him go. And you lose Daniil Hunter in the process. And I think I asked you guys last week, if you just made that trade, you would say the Vikings were losers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get a touch better. I don't know why. I'm going to give him a C. Maybe I should move down to a C-. But for me, this is simple. They lost their best offensive player, Kirk Cousins. They lost their best defensive player, D'Lo Hunter, and they didn't replace either of those two with better players. And that's it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And they also signed a kicker who's never kicked in an NFL regular season game. They're going to let Greg Joseph walk, it's looking like. I don't know what the Vikings are doing.
Yeah, quickly on the Bears, we talked about them at length about the field stuff and the Keenan Allen trade. I'm going to give the Bears a God. See, I would give such a higher grade if they just got anything more for Justin Fields. So I'll say I was teetering on like C plus or B minus. I'll say C plus just because I'll say B minus. I think the Keenan Allen thing helps you a ton. He's a great pairing with DJ Moore, but then like just giving a 6th round pick for Justin Fields is just terrible. I'm going to look at it as sort of like, they basically swapped Justin Fields for Keenan Allen and gave up a little draft capital to do it. So, like, I think that's a much better deal than thinking about it individually.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, I would say. I'm a little bit higher. I would probably give him a B. I'm trying not to be a prisoner of the Justin Fields situation.
Yeah.
We know Caleb Williams is coming. It's not like Minnesota where they're kind of sitting out in the abyss and we don't know exactly what's going to happen at quarterback. We know exactly what they're going to do at the NFL draft and bringing Caleb Williams number one overall. I love the Keenan Allen pickup. I love the Kevin Byard pickup. DeAndre Swift was a little bit interesting. I don't know if he's the best back to make your bell cow out of that backfield, out of all of these running backs that were available. I don't know if he was the one to specifically target.
And they were first on him. They like, that's got what him, I mean. Like before.
They were doing it day one, you know, right. Almost felt like in the same breath as the Packers were getting Josh Jacobs, they were going after DeAndre Swift. So I don't know if I necessarily love that, but I definitely give him a B here. I think overall, I like what they've done.
I'll split the difference, B minus. I agree with the Keenan Allen trade is really what put me over the top. You get him for a 4th round pick. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Gerald Everett at tight end. You're giving, and DeAndre Swift, obviously, you're giving your new quarterback, probably Caleb Williams, some weapons to work with. And that's what you have to do to make life easier for the rookie. And you mentioned Kevin Byard saw it. And the reason I love that is because you got him for $7.5 million a year. That's a pretty solid price for a player of that caliber. So I'll give the Bears a B minus.
Deion Sanders wouldn't have paid him that much. Don't worry. Deion told him, "You stay being a fan. I'll stay being a man." He's like, "I'm an all-pro safety, dude. What's your problem?" All right, let's take a break. When we come back, NFC South grades continued next. But first, make sure and join our podcast bracket group. It's bracket time. To get yours on now on the CBS Sports app. You can play in the men's and women's pools with friends and join our challenges for the chance to win a new Nissan Rogue and trips in the 2025 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/play to start filling out your brackets. No purchase necessary. See rules and terms for details.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
March, the most wonderful time of the year. We got tons of basketball on the television. Make sure you join the our CBS Web Pick Six podcast bracket out there. You can join us playing against us for, I don't know, Brinson Sucks Hats, so D-Bell will never mail. Sound about right?
How irrationally far are you going to put NC State in your bracket?
Not that far. I don't think. I don't.
Sweet 16?
I think we.
Not that far. Final four.
No, I mean, like, here's the thing is, like, just really quickly on it is we played 5 games in 5 days. No ACC team has ever done that and like, won the tournament, which is insane that we did it. We beat our rival, Carolina. I think there's a lot of, like, happy to be there. We are playing with free money because we got in. We weren't going to be in otherwise. We almost lost on Tuesday against Louisville. We played a really terrible game. And then Jim – I think this is underrated in the whole thing. Jim Boeheim on the broadcast, for whatever reason, they had Boeheim doing this, and Boeheim's such a – I can't stand Bayon. It repulses me. Just Anyway, Boeheim is like, our guys were celebrating. He's like, I don't know if I'd be celebrating if I were like doing the goggles thing. Regular season. And the guys heard it, and like they changed the way that they played for the next four games. They played like some of the most elite basketball in the freaking like country over the next four games. Beat Duke, beat Carolina. And I just wonder, it's like you go into it and you're thinking like we're gonna go win the national title, or are you like, we finally broke this 37-year-old curse? You know, it's almost like you would have been better off playing, like starting the NCAA tournament on Sunday, you know? And like they could have kept going even with the tired legs. I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see. I know that there's a big sense of relief in Raleigh and amongst like the fan base. And I think that that's always a little concerning, you know?
Yeah. That exhale game is always around the corner.
Right. Exactly. All right. Moving along, the NFC South, we start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Added Jordan Whitehead, but mainly, more importantly than anything, brought back a bunch of guys. They bring back Devin White, Mike Evans. No, excuse me, they lose Devin White. I'm sorry. They bring back Antoine Winfield Jr., bring back Levante David, bring back Mike Evans, and bring back Baker Mayfield. What do you give the Bucs here, Breach, in terms of a grade for basically trying to run back the NFC South champions from the last couple of years?
Yeah, I'm going to give them a B. I mean, as you said, they're trying to run it back. But look, you didn't win a playoff game last year, and you're bringing back the exact same team.
Yeah, they did. They beat the Eagles.
They did beat the Eagles. That's right. Okay, well, you're bringing back the same exact team. That it's not like they ran away with the NFC South. So if they had gone 12-5 and finished three games ahead of everyone, that's one thing. But they went 9-8. And so I'm not sure I'm bringing back the same exact team that went 9-8. I just don't feel like they did a lot of upgrading. And I'm not going to be picking the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. So I'll give them a B.
I'll give them a B plus. I'll be a slightly more kind to them just because the alternative for Tampa Bay is worst team in the league. We're stripping this whole thing down. And from a 2024 standpoint, they're clearly better here. And had it not been for another team in this division who is going to hit it out of the park when we give out those grades, they are going to be respectable in that division. I mean, they could very easily still win the NFC South. As much as Atlanta has been, you know, the darling of this free agency period, I still think that there's a world where Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and Antoine Winfield and that core could still make some noise in that division, even though, again, it's not the most competitive in the league.
Yeah, I give it a B+. I think mainly because, one, there was all these guys, with the exception of Antoine Winfield Jr., were basically allowed to hit free agency of some form or fashion. You know, they tagged Winfield Jr., but they brought these guys back because of this culture that they wanted to come back to, and they are running it back. And I think once again, they're not going to be the favorite. The Falcons are going to be the favorite to win the division. We'll talk about them in a second, but the Bucs can easily win the division. I do agree with Breach, like in the sense in what you were trying to say, Breach. They did win a playoff game, but the Eagles were collapsing, and it's like this, but like, you know, they could have gone to the NFC title game fairly easily. Maybe who knows, like won the NFC, but it just doesn't feel like that compelling. But I think we do underrate them a little bit. So I'll say even B actually. The Saints lose Michael Thomas, lose Jameis Winston, re-up Tyron. Oh, I don't have my soundboard with me. Tyron Matthew, and also bring in DeMario Davis, Willie Gay Jr., and Cedric Wilson Jr. I don't know, man. I'll say C for the Saints. I'm consistently underwhelmed by the New Orleans Saints and just where they're at, Sully.
Yeah, it's just kind of a meh free agency cycle for them. C is probably fine. I'd probably go C minus because I don't know if they're really how about this? By everybody else in that free agency period, they're now worse in the division, right? Like Atlanta's jumped them. And their linebackers are good. I like Willie Gay Jr., like I like DeMario Davis, like their linebackers will be fine, but like I just don't know if they've done anything to the level of either retaining your stars from a year ago, like Baker Mayfield, these real movers and shakers, or going out and swinging for the fences like Atlanta. They just kind of seem like a team that's meh, that's always like weirdly like $100,000 million under the cap. They have to restructure like 45 people. It just seems like they have more work to do than any other team to get cap compliant. It just seems very difficult for them leading up to the start of the league new year. So I don't know. It just feels a little bit meh for this team so far.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a C. I mean, look, they signed Nathan Peterman. Does that count for anything?
No.
No, sure doesn't.
Okay, then I'm going to go with the C.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – it is so blah. The Atlanta Falcons, the opposite of blah. They go get Kirk Cousins on a huge deal, then sign Darnell Mooney to 3 years, $39 million, trade for Rondell Moore. They obviously traded away Desmond Ridder in that spot. And they re-signed a few guys of their own. Look, Atlanta felt like they were a quarterback away, and they went and got the quarterback. Now, he's got to be healthy. He's got to play well, but they have a good offensive line. They have a great offensive coordinator in Zach Robinson, I think, and they have – you know, all these pieces in place, all these three guys they drafted in the top 10 over the last 3 years on offense, where you can like, this team is a Super Bowl contender. I know Kirk Cousins doesn't have playoff like success, but I mean, this team should be the favorite in the division. And if like they have enough there where if Raheem Morris's defense is good, they can make a run at the Lombardi. They're at least a playoff team, I think, or a playoff contender for sure. No one would disagree with that. You have an A+.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't give them an A+, right? I mean, like, they're the team that was making all of the great moves this offseason. Kirk Cousins, clearly, I mean, that's obvious. You immediately upgrade. It's your best quarterback that you've had since Matt Ryan. It's night and day from what you had a year ago. Hopefully, that makes your first-round draft picks of the last few years, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, all kind of elevate to what you hoped they would be, what they would become. But to me, I love the Darnell Mooney one. Kirk Cousins, obviously. Darnell Mooney, I think, is so underrated. The dude's like in his mid-20s, has a 1,000-yard season, and was on one of the worst passing teams in football over the last few years. Now you give him an offense where there's a ton of other weapons that the secondary has to occupy, and you have an elevated quarterback playing Kirk Cousins, I think he could get right back to a 1,000-yard season. And we'll look at that as one of the sneaky best signings of the offseason.
And I can't believe they got compensation for Desmond Ridder. You look at all the other teams. We're talking about Mac Jones only going for a sixth-round pick. Justin Fields going for a sixth-round pick. The Falcons got someone who might actually be productive in their offense in Rondale Moore. When you're talking about being a third receiver behind Darnell Mooney and Drake London, he could put up some decent numbers. I mostly agree with you guys. I'm not going to go full A+. I'm just going with the regular A. No plus. Obviously, Kirk Cousins coming off. You're putting all your eggs in the Kirk Cousins basket, which is fine, except that he's coming off a torn Achilles. So that is my one tiny minor concern that knocks me from the A+ down to the A.
I think it's a perfectly reasonable concern. I got the same concerns. I just think we've seen enough from these quarterbacks in the modern era where they can bounce back from injury. And I think Cousins, like, for what they stated that they wanted out of a quarterback and for what they got, they would have got the guy, the best guy available, who really, like, the only, you know, I think Kirk Cousins is adamant about two things. Like, he wants to have a good fit culture-wise. I think he wants to have a good fit financially. And the Falcons were able to offer that to him. And I don't think he was leaving Minnesota unless there was a really good fit culture-wise out there for him. And I think the Falcons provided that, which I think that's impressive, man, to convince somebody like that to bounce. All right. The Carolina Panthers. So they traded Brian Burns, which, again, I've talked about this at length. I don't think it's a bad thing to trade Brian Burns. You should have traded him 18 months ago. You didn't get a great haul in return because you would like to get a first rounder, but it's better than having to play out the season and watch him leave for compensatory third when there's no chance really in hell that this team is going to be hyper. Like, maybe they turn things around in year one with Dave Canales. I don't think they're going to magically do it. I think the ceiling is probably like 8 wins, and that's being really generous. Like wasting Brian Burns for 8 wins, you get something in return. You add Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis. You make the trade and pick up Deontay Johnson, which I really like. You lose, of course, Dante Jackson in that trade. Josie Jewell, all right. Caleb Onchason, former first-round pick, pass rusher who's just, you know, sort of been a guy. And Sean Robinson, you really improve the defensive line. And, like, to, you know, look, the Robert Hunt and Daniel Lewis signings, I think, really underrated in terms of improving the interior of that offensive line. I want to give the Panthers a B, and I'm really doing the same thing we talked about with Fields, Sully, where I'm getting hung up on the compensation you got back for Brian Burns here.
Yeah, no, I think that that's, I, again, it's fair. It's, you can't ignore it. You know, I think that, you know, it's, it, you try not to have it be the sole reason why you do something. But for the Carolina Panthers, and I would probably give them a C plus, B minus, just because I don't know if there's anything super seismic that they've made to improve this team. But I will say I do like that they're solidifying the offensive line. I do like that they brought in Deontay Johnson, as you said, because I think we mentioned it last week. Like, okay, fine. 8 wins is the bar, is the ceiling for this team to be as successful, you know, as high as they possibly could go in 2024. The only real barometer of success for the Panthers is if Bryce Young is good next year. That's really it. So if you're putting a sturdy offensive line and giving him somebody to throw to, you're at least giving your number one overall pick a fighting chance. And if he shows any sort of promise, well, then you can go into next offseason a little bit more confident than you are this year, where you're like, oh boy, I don't know if he's the guy. We might have some problems here. So really, it's all about Bryce Young and interior of the offensive line. Check. Wide receiver, check. Those are two good things.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a C. I just think that giving away your best pass rusher for not a lot isn't a great look. Even if you are throwing, even if you're giving up on next season.
It was, well, when you put it that way.
that's enough to turn. And like, I understand what Sully's saying, that it is all about Bryce Young and what he looks like. But even with the Deontay Johnson trade, their best receivers, best two are still Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen right now. I mean, that's still not a great receiving duo. So I am still not sold at all on the Panthers.
Okay, that's fair. NFC West, 49ers went out and retooled their defensive line. Lose Eric Armstead and Chase Young. Of course, Chase Young they traded for in the offseason, but pick up Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, Malik Collins, and then they added as well Devondre Campbell. I kind of like what they did on defense. There's a lot of different stuff. You know, just sort of the offense we know is going to be fine. Defensively, how can you get there? I don't know that this is necessarily like a, you know, blow you away offseason. I'll give him a B minus. I do think, you know, you think back about the Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner defensive combo, not having either of those guys is kind of a tough look now. But I think retooling, they did a nice job considering all the circumstances. B minus for me, Sully.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I mean, we do have to note that they did kind of lose out on their preferred option in Eric Kendricks, right? Like that was, they were pursuing Eric Kendricks. They seem to agree to terms in the legal tampering period. And then all of a sudden Dallas swoops in and signs them to a 2-year deal. They have to pivot to Devondre Campbell. So anytime that happens, I don't think you can't be like, oh, well, this has been great. They missed out on one of their top options at one of their key positions. So I'll probably be right there with you. B minus. I do like Leonard Floyd. I just think he's perfect for these Super Bowl contenders. Let me just pop in for a year. Let me contribute off the edge and work in that route. So, yeah, no, I think B minus is totally fine because, again, they didn't really have that many holes on offense. I mean, they're going to be great. And so defense, you kind of pick and choose your spots.
You know what? I didn't think this would happen. I think this might be the first time we're going to go straight agreement. I'm going to go B minus two. The 49ers didn't do anything flashy. Brinson mentioned the Eric Armstead stuff. You release him because he doesn't want to take a pay cut. I do like that they traded for Malik Collins. They didn't give up much, and I think that could be a sneaky good addition. But other than that, they've been pretty quiet. They did get pass rushing help, which is what they needed. We still don't know they're going to lose Chase Young too. But with Leonard Floyd and Gross-Matos, those are two pretty solid additions. So, they didn't do anything to wow me, but they didn't pull a Dallas Cowboys, who we'll talk about in a little bit, and do nothing. So I'll go B minus.
All right, the Rams picked up Cam Curl, sneaky good signing. Jonah Jackson as well, Darius Williams. And it also added my boy Colby Parkinson. I think, man, that the Aaron Donald loss is a dagger for me as somebody who's been pumping up the Rams all offseason, just because this team looked like it really did a great job getting ready to be physical in the run game. And to lose the best defensive player in maybe NFL history, not to mention obviously your best defensive player in the sort of the motor that makes that defense goes, that's just it's a tough loss. I understand why Aaron Donald did it. Hall of Fame career, wants to walk away, probably doesn't want to play at anything other than 100%. But I thought that this team had legitimate Super Bowl aspirations. I think that comes down certainly a little bit because of the Donald loss. I'll give him the Donald thing is huge, man. I can't overstate it. Like, I would say, I think it's a B plus now for the Rams. And it's not like they did anything wrong. Aaron Donald just retired.
Yeah, no, I'd give him a B. And this is the thing that I was always wondering about with Aaron Donald. Like, there's immediate reports after that say, like, oh, the Rams were fully aware. They knew all of this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, that's what you have to say. If you say you're caught off guard by it, then it just makes you look bad. But, like, how aware were they at the start of free agency, start of legal tampering period, that he was leaning in this direction? Like, was this something that they 100% knew? Or are they caught a little bit off guard and they'd say, hey, listen, if we actually knew that, we'd probably try to clear as much cap space as humanly possible to go after Christian Wilkins to help us solidify that defensive line. Like, I don't know if you could, move that much cap space to get that type of contract to bring him aboard. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder how much knowledge they had. Maybe they had some inklings, but was it definitive at the start of free agency? Or was it like at the end of the week saying, yeah, I'm kind of out. I would give them a B here. I do like the Cam Curl signing. I like bringing back Darius Williams. You know, I even like the Jimmy Garoppolo signing. I think that's a great landing spot for him. I think it's really fascinating if something happens to Stafford, if he comes in as kind of that veteran guy with Sean McVay, very familiar with the new offensive coordinator. Mike LaFleur was the passing game coordinator at San Francisco when he was there. So there's a lot of familiarity with that offense. I would give him a B. I think it's been solid, but yeah, of course you lose one of the best defensive players of his generation. Yeah, that's going to stink.
And to answer Sully's question, apparently Sean McVay told Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated that Aaron Donald said he was going to retire the day after the Rams lost to the Lions in the playoffs. But it is weird that they waited that long. Why not announce it when you have that kind of open window after the Super Bowl, before the combine, or after the combine, before free agency? There are plenty of spots. And if the Rams did know that, it doesn't feel like they really went out and found somebody who could even start to replace him. I know you mentioned Christian Wilkins, but obviously the Aaron Donald thing is huge. But I do like what they did on defense in the secondary, bringing back Darius Williams, also signing Cam Curl. I think those are both two very, very good signings, maybe even underrated signings. And then obviously fortifying the offensive line with Jonah Jackson and Kevin Dotson. Look, Matthew Stafford is getting older. He can't keep taking hits. You need a good offensive line. So I liked both of those. I got the Rams with a B.
All right, Seahawks. Added Rashawn Jenkins and Sam Howell, the latter being a trade. Brought back Leonard Williams, Noah Fant, Artie Burns. Did lose a bunch of guys in the secondary, plus Drew Locke, Jamal Adams, and Quandre Diggs. But those are most of your salary cap constraints. I think I give the Seahawks a C+. Nothing special, nothing snazzy.
Yeah, C. Nothing crazy. Didn't really move the needle for me much at all.
What? Did you give him a C+ too?
I gave him a C. Didn't really love anything.
I'm going to go with Brinson C+. Interesting they traded for Sam Howell. I think that, who knows, obviously Geno Smith expected to be the starter, but who knows how that will play out. They released a bunch of guys, which was interesting, but yeah, I'll go C+ also.
All right. Finally in this division, the Arizona Cardinals bring in Justin Jones. Shout out Justin Jones, Wolfpack, Sean Murphy Bunting, Jonah Williams, and traded for Desmond Ridder. Lose, of course, Marquise Brown, DJ Humphreys, and just basically don't have any wide receivers now. So other than that, C-.
Yeah, I'm with you. C-. Again, you don't have anybody to throw the football to if you're Kyler Murray. It's kind of a problem. I know that we all say it's possibly Marvin Harrison Jr., but still, like we were saying with Atlanta, you only had Drake London. You needed to add all those other guys like Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore. You're kind of in that same spot if you're Arizona. Like, okay, you're asking a lot of this first-round pick, if that's who it's going to be, to carry this offense. So, yeah, I'd give them a C- right now.
Yeah, good on them for signing Jonah Williams, beefing up the offensive line, but totally agree with you guys. I mean, who is Kyler Murray throwing the ball to? That seems like a problem. So I'm going to give them just a regular C. I'm not going to throw the minus. Be nice to the birds.
All right. Next up, we have the best move in the NFC, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Stolly, you were going high level here with your favorite NFC move.
I mean, let's just make it nice and easy, right? Layup, Kirk Cousins, the Atlanta Falcons. It makes them legitimate contenders overnight. They're the favorites to win that division. It from a fantasy football standpoint, it makes Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, and Drake London palatable again. I mean, I thought you'd swear off them after last year, just with all the headaches that they've given you. But now you can at least draft them with somewhat confidence. And so from a multiple different levels, I just think it's a slam dunk for the Atlanta Falcons bringing in Kirk Cousins.
I went with the Giants trading for Brian Burns. We just talked about it a little bit. I just think they got a great deal. They didn't have to overpay. And now you're putting him on a defensive line that already has Dexter Lawrence, that already has Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, it looks like they are going back to their Eli Manning days of, we don't know what we're going to get from the offense, so we've got to build a defense that can win Super Bowls or compete for playoff get wins or win the division. That's what they're doing here. I like what they have on the defensive line, and I like that move.
I'll go with a pair of spite signings. Aaron Jones, we talked about these. We love these. Aaron Jones to the Vikings, and then Saquon Barkley from the Giants to the Eagles. I just think, like, you get two games against your old team for both of those squad, both those running backs in the division. I love the spite signing factor. I think they could have ramifications because they, like, those two games could flip whether teams go to the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. So just massive, massive swings there. All right, finally, speaking of the best move of the NFC segment has been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Speaking of the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys bring in Eric Kendricks. They lose Tony Pollard, Tyron Smith, Michael Gallup, Leighton Vander Esch. Hard to give the Cowboys a really good grade. I mean, I'm going to give a D for Dallas.
I mean, how can you not give them an F? They didn't do anything. I mean, they brought in Eric Kendrick, which is, you know, it's making up for Leighton Vander Esch, who announced his retirement today. So, okay, fine. You feel a little bit of a need. But, boy, you lose Tony Pollard, Tyron Smith, Michael Gallup. I mean, you're talking about, like, legitimate pieces to your offense. And so, and really with no active way to bring them back, or bring in replacements for them. Like, I just don't know where that's coming from if you're Dallas, and they were the last team to make a signing. It just felt like they kind of hit the snooze button, especially, and which is completely damning after Jerry Jones said we were going to go all in this offseason. So it's from a expectation standpoint, from what ownership and the front office was giving you to what actually transpired, I don't know how you look at that and don't give it an F.
I don't think all in means what Jerry thinks it means. That's the problem. I'm going to go D minus. I am going to give them a small inkling of credit for the Eric Kendrick signing. But that is it. D minus.
Okay. Next up, the Philadelphia Eagles. They add Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff, CJ Gardner-Johnson. They lose maybe the two most important veteran pieces on each side of the ball, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox. Can't overstate how huge those losses are. Also, Kevin Byard out the door, along with DeAndre Swift. Brandon Graham, Jake Elliott, and Landon Dickerson re-signed. They've been extremely busy. I'm going to give them a C-, and that might even be a little bit high. And it's not, again, it's not their fault, just like the Aaron Donald thing. Jason Kelce, and Fletcher Cox walked away. I think those two pieces hashtag matter a lot. So C- for me.
I think that's fair. You kind of talked me down. I was going to give him a B, but I'll go down to B-, you know, because again, yes, of course, losing Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox, you have to account for that. But I do love bringing back CJ Gardner-Johnson. I do love Saquon Barkley just from the standpoint alone. And Bryce Huff was a good player for the New York Jets coming off the edge. I think really good player. I think that's a sneaky great signing for them. So again, yes, of course, Kelce, Cox, losing those guys is not great, but I do like what they brought in as well. I thought they made some savvy moves.
I think this is going to be the first team where we all went with a different letter. I'm going to give them an A-.
Wow.
I was impressed what they did. Look, they lost Fletcher Cox. They lost Jason Kelce. As you guys mentioned, those are huge. But I love the Gardner-Johnson signing. That's a big one. I think Saquon Barkley is going to take a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. That's going to help out the offense a ton. Sully, you mentioned Bryce Huff. Does he replace Fletcher Cox? Probably not, but he is a good pass rusher. I think he can be good in that defense. And let's not forget, they re-signed their superstar, Jake Elliott, to a 4-year deal. I'm giving them an A-.
I'll bump them up to C+. You talked me into it. All right. Still saying the same letter grade. New York Giants, they trade for Brian Burns, add John Runyon, Drew Lock, and Devin Singletary, who's now going to be their feature back. They lose Xavier McKinney and Saquon Barkley. I think you can ding them for losing some really high picks who were supposed to be homegrown talents. But, man, it's hard not to give them a good grade, Sully, for the Brian Burns trade. I'll say a B for the Giants here.
Yep, I think that's fair. I think B+, just because, again, you're getting a premier pass rusher for a song. I mean, it's just the fact that you were able to get him for what you were able to and basically fleece the Carolina Panthers for – someone who I think you could anchor your defense for the foreseeable future. I think that that's clearly, you know, a huge boost for them. Obviously, losing Saquon Barkley from an emotional standpoint is a tough one, but for this team, for where they're going, I just don't know if it makes sense to pay a running back. Like the Eagles, it makes sense because you're knocking on the door of a Super Bowl. You feel like he's the guy that could get you over the edge. I just don't know if that same contract would have made sense in New York other than the emotions kicking in.
And I already just explained how much I love the Brian Burns deal. And because of that alone, I have to give the Giants something in the A range. So I'm giving them an A minus. I think they've had a pretty impressive offseason.
Perfectly fair. We wrap it up with the Washington Commanders. They bring in Frankie Louvu, Tyler Biadasz, Zach Ertz, Jeremy Chinn, Dorrance Armstrong, Cleveland Farrell, Marcus Mariota, Lucy Sam Howell, Curtis Samuel, and Kendall Fuller. Also brought Brandon McManus, because we got to have these kicker discussions on here every freaking day with John Breach hanging around. I'll go C-plus for the Commanders. Nothing. I think it's decent. Nothing.
I got a little nervous when you were in the B range. I'm like, it wasn't that good. It was C plus.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. I'm gonna C. I really didn't like it, but I was. It's like the last one of the show. I felt bad for giving that bad grade. I'm gonna even C.
It's fine. I'm in the C plus range. Listen, I like Jeremy Chinn. I think that's kind of underrated. You know, Zach Ertz could be great for a young quarterback. I like Marcus Mariota. This is one of the reasons why I kind of love what they did at the quarterback position, getting rid of Sam Howell, bringing in Marcus Mariota, because it feels like they're going to draft Jaden Daniels. I know the odds of, you know, my buddy sent it to me the other day, like that Drake May was now the favorite at number two, but that's been ping-ponging a ton. It feels like Jaden Daniels is going to be the number two overall pick. Stylistically, it matches well with Mariota, and Mariota is a great sounding board for any one of these quarterbacks that they bring in. A former number two overall pick, kind of been handing the keys to a franchise. That alone could really help bring along this young quarterback that they're going to draft at number two into the NFL.
I am going to go in that B range for you guys that you didn't want to hit up. I actually liked what the Commanders did this offseason. Of course, Brinson mentioned they signed a kicker. That was obviously my favorite move. But look, I think they made a couple underrated moves. I didn't hate bringing in Bobby Wagner. Is he old? Yes, he is old. But he gets to reunite with Dan Quinn, who was his defensive coordinator in Seattle. So I think Quinn brought him in to kind of be that veteran leader on that defense. And then you just look kind of what they did on the offensive line. Nick Allegretti, getting him from Kansas City, I think was a very, very good signing. Man, Austin Eckler, I feel like is going to be somebody who has put up some impressive numbers in Washington. So I'm going to go B minus.
Oh yeah, missed Austin Eckler on there. I did like the Austin Eckler signing. Although I do think it's hilarious that we keep getting these like the Twitter's like Austin Eckler's an elite running back, best in the league. It's like, dude, like it's like Antonio Gates is celebrating right there. All right, that'll do it for us. That's the NFC Free Agent Show. Myself and Dudes are going to go to the AFC. Remember to like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube page if you're listening to the audio version. Download, follow, leave a five-star review, and tell your friends to watch and listen to the pod. For Sully, for Breach, I'm Breach, and we'll see you guys later.
CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Finally, not letting you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.